What if I told you that peace is not just the absence of conflict or pain or trouble in your life, but rather that it's the presence of something that's really special? Our lives can be often filled with chaos, confusion, difficulties, trials. But Scripture teaches us that we can experience a calm in the midst of it all. That calm is the peace of the Holy Spirit. We're first introduced to the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 2. Listen to what it says. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was overcoming the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. From the beginning of Scripture, God was in the business of turning chaos into calm through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the birth of Jesus, but I want you to understand that the birth of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit allow us to experience true and lasting peace when we yield our lives and choose to follow Jesus Christ. So today, as we look at the most familiar story that's ever been told, and we look at the life of Joseph, I want you to see how the Holy Spirit is bringing calm in the midst of chaos. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 18, but I remind you of what comes before this. Before verse 18, we see the genealogy of Jesus. The genealogy of Jesus takes us all the way back to Abraham through the lineage of King David, which fulfills the promises of God. He said to King David, "Your ancestors will sit on the throne that reign forever." It's through Joseph that Jesus is tied to David. And yet, he's kind of left out of most Christmas stories, isn't he? I mean, he gets a back seat. Why isn't there a song that says, "Joseph, did you know?" There's not. When we hear about the story of Christmas, we think most about Mary and baby Jesus. But Joseph has a very integral part of the story as the father of Jesus in the lineage of David. I want you to hear how this passage begins. Matthew 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Say this. Say, uh-oh. That's an interruption. How many of you have ever had life interrupted? Let me see your hands. This is life interrupted. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. When life is interrupted, that's what we do. Not necessarily divorce, because all of life's interruptions don't have to do with marriage, but sometimes they do. No, we take matters into our own hands. We look into our own mind, and we come up with our own plans. And we think we can handle it best. It continues, but afterwards he had considered this, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." I've preached messages about Christmas for 30 years. This is the first time we've done a series on the role of the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story. But I want you to see in Joseph's life, his perspective changed when he became aware of the involvement of the Holy Spirit. The whole outlook of his future, the whole outcome of this story, it changed with his awareness of the involvement of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to suggest to you, when you look at the birth of Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, Those things can change in your life. You can begin to experience calm in the midst of chaos when you understand and become aware of the Holy Spirit. Things change. So that goes on. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Say that name with me, Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've come together and we pray now together in the name of Jesus, knowing that we do so in the unity of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you to speak, Lord. We're listening. Give us what we need today that we may not have. Teach us more about you. Make us more like you, Jesus. Help us to see your presence in the midst of life's interruptions. And Holy Spirit of God, for that person here today, man or woman, even child, that does not know you, would you draw them unto yourself that this might be the day of their salvation? God, would you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight? Oh God, my strength and redeemer. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You could call this passage of Scripture life interrupted. And I would encourage you to think about that when you think about what we're going to talk about. What are the ways that your life has been interrupted? What are the things that come into your little corner of the world and rob you of peace? Life can be interrupted by unexpected developments. Let me see your hand if you've ever had unexpected developments in your life. Maybe you didn't see it coming, right? You didn't know you were going to get that call from the doctor. You didn't know the marriage was going to take the turn that it did. You didn't know that you would lose your job. You didn't know that your engine was going to fail in your vehicle. And life's interrupted, and all of a sudden you have challenges that you did not anticipate. Life could be interrupted by unwanted circumstances. Usually the interruptions we experience are unwanted. We not only don't see them coming, we would not prefer to have experienced these things in our lives. We wished it would have turned out another way. Life may be interrupted by unexplained events. And we spend a lot of energy and we spin the wheels in our mind just asking that question, why? Why, God? Sometimes on this side of heaven, we never see God's why. I want to help you with these interruptions. I want to help you think through how we could, like Joseph, change from a chaotic season of life and experience calm in the midst of chaos. At the beginning of the passage, he is certainly lacking peace. He doesn't know what to do. He's devising his own plans. But by the end, he chooses to live by the command of God and do things God's way. It seems that he's experiencing peace. What changed? It's verse 20. It's what I pointed out. The moment that he experienced the awareness of the Holy Spirit of God, the moment that he began to understand that God was working, even in the midst of this storm, his fear changed to peace and his plans gave way to God's plan. So I want to ask you, as I show you a fresh way of looking at this familiar story, Do you see the involvement of God through His Spirit in your life? Can you think of specific moments where the Spirit of God has revealed to you His work in such a way that you had strength to go forward for another day? Let me give you a few practical things we can learn. We experience peace when we see the providence of God. We experience peace when we see the providence of God. Now, that's a theological term. You need to know it, though. The providence of God speaks to the hand of God over the arc of the history of our life. So it's the hand of God over your story. It is the recognition that God's at work in you. In this story, it's because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That's when Joseph saw the providence of God. He discovered the Holy Spirit of God was working even when no one knew He was working. And can I tell you today, God still works even when you don't know He's working. He's at work in your life. He's at work in this world. He's at work in the circumstances, even when you don't see Him. We often see the providence of God when we're looking in the rearview mirror or the backup camera in newer cars. Have you noticed that? Do you have something in your life where in the moment you felt like, man, this is crazy? But when you look back, you realize God actually knew what He was doing. God was already at work. I've seen that over and over and over again in my life. I've seen this as God's provided. I have seen this as God's comforted. I've seen this as God's guided, as He's counseled me. I've seen this in relationships. And I've seen this even in trials. What are the moments in your life that when you look back, you see the hand of God? We began this year with me encouraging you to pray that prayer of Jabez. And so I've been praying that this year. Have you? I prayed that over a family yesterday as they grieved. I prayed that over two couples this week as I had the privilege of uniting them in marriage. In fact, that was my week. It's like a movie, two weddings and a funeral. God, would you bless me? Would you bless me indeed? Increase the impact, the influence of my story for your glory. Put your hand upon me and protect me from the harm of sin, whether that be sin in my life or sin of others in my little part of the world. Oh, look and ask God to allow you to see His providence in your life. But there's a second thing. We experience peace when we see the purposes of God. I want to remind you that you were created on purpose for a purpose. Every one of you. We had a great time at our 6 Mile campus on Thursday evening as they celebrated Christmas. We provided a Christmas ham or turkey and a full meal to well over 100 families. Many other families, in addition to that, got food to take home with them. We gave Christmas gifts to just as many, and then many more got Christmas gifts as well. They got a hot meal. About 300 people got food on the streets. And as Pastor Caleb was standing there, he looked out at the largest crowd I've ever seen gathered in that little fellowship hall, we call it. And they were around tables, and they had just eaten a good meal. And he looked out and said, every one of you were created in the image of God. I hope you know that today. You're not an accident. You were created on purpose for the purposes of God. And in this story, Joseph began to discover the purpose of God when he heard, you are to give Him the name Jesus. Say Jesus. Why Jesus? Jesus is that Hebrew name Yeshua, which literally means the one who saves. So when Joseph would hear the name, he would instantly know, wow, there's purpose behind all of this. He's the one who saves. I stood here yesterday at that funeral gathering, and I reminded them of Three truths from Romans 8. I love Romans 8. It begins by reminding us in verse 1 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Say, no condemnation. I praise the Lord for that. But it goes on to say we can't do it on our own. So God made a way to adopt us into his family. That's what the gospel is all about. Though we weren't physically born into the family of God, we come into the family of God by adoption, and we then become a child of God. But then it makes clear that life is difficult. Life is difficult, and I know this because it says, hey, you need to get to a point where even though you're in God's family, you look at your present suffering, those interruptions, as temporary because you're looking to an eternal glory. And then it goes on to say, and when you're in the midst of those suffering and you don't know what to pray, there's good news. The Holy Spirit of God is crying out on your behalf. And so even though life is hard, it tells us that God is always good because we know that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? Then it goes on to say, therefore, remember who you are. You're more than a conqueror. And more than a conqueror means nothing can separate you from the love of God. And he gives us this long list, and life and death and all the trials, the interruptions of this life. Nothing can separate you from the love of God because of what he's done for you in Christ Jesus. It's just a reminder that God's always working for our good and his glory. That's part of his purpose. Now, Joseph had the ability to understand God's why. God's why was he was sending Jesus to save his people from our sins. We don't always know God's why, but we can still choose to live by his purposes. I don't know about you, but in my life, few things have robbed me of peace like those moments where I choose to live for my purposes. When I do my will rather than his will. I'm looking, and most of you are old enough to have moments like that where you've consciously made that decision. You might have not done it in a full-throated way, but you knew, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm taking a step in the wrong direction, the direction of my way rather than God's way. And when I step out of his way into my own purposes, it always ends with a lack of peace. So how do I make sure I live his way? Well, I pray like Jesus taught us to pray. Remember that model prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you think God's will is accomplished in heaven? Does he ever have days in heaven where he say, well, that didn't work out like I wanted it to? No, his will is achieved perfectly in heaven. And so Jesus was saying, God, so reign in my life, your kingdom come in me, be in charge of my life in such a way that your will be done in me and your kingdom will come in me just as it's happening right at this moment in heaven. When your feet hit the floor every day and you climb out of bed, then you pray, God, I want your will, not my will today. I want your purposes, not my purposes today. So we see God's providence. We seek his purposes. And then we experience peace when we sense the presence of God. And we see that as the angel gives word to Joseph that his name will be called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us is always greater than the things that war around us. God with us is always more than the battles we face inside of us. Remember what Scripture teaches. We learned this in our study through Hebrews. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. When you begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, God is with you. You see the providence of God in your life? Are you seeking the purposes of God in your life? Are you sensing the presence of God in your life? You can. You can't do everything Joseph did. You're not going to be the father of Jesus. Not going to happen. But you can experience the peace he experienced. I want to show you how that happens. How that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the promise that Jesus gave us. John 14 says, "And I have spoken, and this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let it be afraid." All of this was in the context of the night before Jesus would go to the cross. He's meeting with his closest friends. He began by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. But even though I'm going, I'm coming back, and I'm going to bring you to be with me." And you know where I'm going. You know how that story went on? He said, you know the way I'm going. And Thomas had a nickname. What was it? Thomas, I don't know if he raised his hand or not, but he said, no, Jesus. We don't know the way. Where are you going? And it's in that context that Jesus said, "I am the way, Thomas. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." That would be encouraging and discouraging at the same time, because he was also telling them he was leaving. So what are they going to do? So it's in that context he says, "Hey, good news, I'm going to send you an advocate. And that advocate is going to comfort you, and he's going to counsel you, and he's going to give you peace. Not as the world gives." You can do things that give you peace for a moment. You can get high, you can get drunk, you can go after your affections and your emotions, and you may forget the world's problems for a moment. But then you sober up, or you have to deal with the consequences of your behavior, and you're robbed of peace again. No. Jesus said, "Not as the world gives, but the one I'm sending will give you true and lasting peace." This same talk he would go on to say in John 16, 33, "I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Paul would tell us in Romans 14, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And Paul would tell us in Galatians 5, when describing what it looks like to walk in the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So I'm going to give you three ways the Holy Spirit gives us peace. Number one, the conviction of the Holy Spirit leads us to make peace with God. Now, peace with God is what the Christmas story is all about. Remember the shepherds? They were minding their own business. This mighty big angel comes and greets them. They're greeted with terror, because they're afraid. We know that because he says, no, it's okay. Don't be afraid. I brought you good news of great joy. One's coming, and here's what he's going to do. He's going to bring peace on earth and goodwill to all mankind. Why do we need peace? Because from the moment your little cute face was born, you were at war with God. And that's the heart of the human problem. It's a problem that many today don't understand, because it's not popular, it's not politically correct, but we're born as sinners, and sin wages war against God's holiness, and that separates us from who God is and what he's intended in our life. We see this all the way back from the garden. God gave Adam and Eve, our great-great-grandparents, everything they needed to enjoy life to the fullest, and yet they chose not to live by his purpose, but to follow their own purpose, and so they broke that relationship with God. They were separated by him, being kicked out of the garden. And all of history until the birth of Christ that we're reading about, all of history was about man finding ways to get right with God. But the message of the angel to Joseph was, I'm sending one who once and for all is going to save people from their sins. And that's when the angels would come to the shepherds and give them the same message. That's why he would say, he's going to bring peace on earth. See, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary is to give us the opportunity to make peace with God. We're separated from God because of our sin. Somebody has to take the punishment for that sin. It's either going to be you or you're going to trust what Jesus did. If you live life according to your own purpose, one day, just like everybody else, the Bible says it's appointed to everyone once to die. We all come with an expiration date. And one day, you'll stand before a holy God, and it will be judgment day, and you'll have to say, what am I going to do? And it's either going to be, I did my best, I tried hard, I worked, I went to church, I put stuff in the offering plate, particularly at Christmas, and I showed up on Christmas Eve. Or it's going to be, oh God, I don't deserve to be here. I'm aware of my sinfulness. But one day I understood that God loved me so much that he sent Jesus to come into this world as a little baby. And Jesus lived a perfect life, which meant he was the only one capable of doing what he came to do. And he died on a cross to take the punishment for my sin. Oh God, because Jesus died for me, I don't have to die. That's why I've showed up here, to live with you forever. That's the heart of the gospel. That's what it means. But you experience that once in your life when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and draws you to God. That's what it says in Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I could give you the most compelling message. I could make you laugh. I could make you cry. I could make you raise your hand and walk down an aisle. But if it's not the Spirit of God that works in you, nothing will change. But if you're led by the Spirit of God to respond to the truth of the gospel, everything changes. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I would ask you, do you have peace with God? Because no other peace that's true and lasting is possible in your life until you have first peace with God. And peace with God comes when the Holy Spirit convicts you of your need for him and you yield and you begin that relationship. Secondly, the comfort of the Holy Spirit allows you to have the peace of God. So once I have peace with God, I can then begin to walk in the peace of God. That means even when life is interrupting me, I can smile. There can be joy on the inside, even when there's war on the outside. That's what we talked about in Romans 8. That's why verse 28 says, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, those who've been called according to his purpose. That's why we learn in Philippians chapter 4 that we don't have to be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and supplication, petition to God with thanksgiving, we can present our request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that you're experiencing the peace of God. Because no matter how good you are, no matter how hard you try, we all face life's interruptions. But there's a third thing. The compulsion of the Holy Spirit commands us to have peace with others. So think about what the Holy Spirit does. He first draws us to God and says, you need a relationship with Jesus. Some of you today, that's what's happening in this moment. It's kind of been intriguing, and you're wrestling in your heart and mind. You're feeling like you need to do something, and you can't really explain it. You feel drawn to God. That's because it's not something you originated. It's not something some pastor said. The Holy Spirit of God is convicting you and drawing you to himself. Some of you, I look out and I know your stories. You've either walked through or you're walking through storms. And yet I've watched you do that with grace. I've watched you do that with peace. Look at my friends Gary and Lynn McNeil. Man, I love this couple so much. In the last several years, they've walked through some big things. And yet, they've modeled the peace of God. And they've done that because the Holy Spirit of God that's living in them, that's indwelt them, He surpassed that human understanding. But some of you, you've got a relationship with Jesus. You've even at times at least experienced the peace of God. But you've got relationships that you just thumbed your nose at. You've written off. And I'm begging you, in the name of Jesus, don't do that. Why? Because Scripture tells us that we should make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond at peace. Some translations say, whatever it takes, do whatever you can to be at peace with all men. Romans 14, 19 says that. Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace, to mutual edification. During World War I, on Christmas Eve in 1914, soldiers on the front lines of the Western Front began singing Christmas carols. In an extraordinary moment, the opposing troops emerged from the trenches and they met in no man's land and they started singing together. Some even exchanged gifts. They shared their food. And they started playing a friendly game of what we call soccer. That spontaneous truce was brief, but it speaks of what I've been describing. Peace is possible even in the trenches of war. Calm can be experienced even in the midst of chaos. I hope you're walking with peace, or at least doing everything you can with those in your little corner of the world. Because the birth of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit allows us to experience true and lasting peace when we choose to follow Christ and walk in the Spirit. That's the end of Galatians 5. After it says the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, and it gives us the rest of those nine, it ends by saying, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Years ago in a small village in Europe, a renowned artist was commissioned to create a painting that would describe and depict the essence of peace. The villagers were eager to see what he would come up with. And on the day that it was to be revealed, it was draped and they staged the uncovering for a special moment that was buzzing with excitement. As the painting was uncovered, gas began to fill the air because the painting described a fierce storm, swirling crowds, crashing waves. And at first someone says, that's not peace. But then they noticed a small detail. A tiny bird nestled in the corner of the canvas, safely sheltered within the cracks of a rock, singing joyfully in the chaos of the storm. I wish I could tell you that you're not going to have life's interruptions. In fact, let me just paraphrase something instead. Something that a preacher I know says often. You're either in the middle of life's interruptions, you've just come out of one of life's interruptions, or though you may not realize it, buckle up, buttercup, because you're headed into one of life's interruptions. But you can't have peace. Charles Spurgeon said something that ties to the story I just told and speaks to this truth. He reminds us that when we see God's presence, like that small bird, we can experience peace. But if we get focused on the little bird and not the one who gives us peace, we'll lose that peace and miss out on what God's created for us. I pray that you'll have peace this Christmas. But don't focus on the peace. That's the fruit. Focus on the giver of peace. He's the root of David, the root of our salvation, the gift of Jesus, and the gift of the Holy Spirit can give you peace even when life is interrupted. Let's pray together. Would you do that? In just a moment, we're going to sing in response to what God's doing in our lives. Every time we do that, there are multiple ways you can respond. Sometimes you just hear the words of this song and you just praise the Lord and you meditate on what you're singing and saying. We've added these carpets because sometimes you just need to come and kneel and pray, and it may not be for yourself. Maybe you're crying out in prayer for peace in the world. And the Bible commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I believe we should still do that. Pray for peace in the Ukraine. Pray for peace in parts of the world. Pray for peace for the family of an American missionary named Kevin, who was taken from his home in Niger 2 months ago and is still missing. Oh, there's plenty of things you could pray for, but you may pray for peace in the lives of our community. You may just come and pray that God begins to work in this Christmas season. Maybe there's something in your personal life you do need to pray for. There are pastors who will be standing here, but you may just want to come and kneel and pray. But somebody's here. Somebody's here that the Spirit of God is drawing to Himself. Would you come today? Would you come to Jesus? This could be the day of your salvation. How does that take place? Well, if you got to have that moment where you yield to His purposes for your life. So there's not a magic prayer, but maybe you would pray a prayer like this. Maybe you would just say right now, right where you are, Jesus, I believe. I know I need you. I'm a sinner. And I believe you died for my sin. So here I am. I'm ready to turn to you, a living God. Take control of my life. Spirit, fill me with your presence. Change me for good. Tell him thank you. Just a moment, when I say amen, I'm going to invite you, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to strongly encourage you to come take my hand or the hand of one of these other pastors and just say, I prayed that prayer today. That's not joining our church. We can talk about that later. We just want to welcome you to the family of God. So Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would do what only the Spirit of God can do, that you would draw men and women to you. Lord, I pray that where conviction is needed, you would give conviction. Spirit of God, where comfort is needed, grant comfort today. Lord, where relationships need to be restored, bring peace to relationship for the glory of your name. And do this all, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. Would you stand together with me as God speaks out, as He leads in your life? Would you step out of your seat? Would you come and pray? Or would you come to one of our pastors as God leads you? Come.
The Lord bless you.